Hello and welcome to another episode of the Dads on the Fly podcast. I'm Caleb Simmons.
And I'm Joshua Simmons. We are two brothers who love fly fishing, our families, and are men of faith. But like most of you listening, we're still not experts on any of those subjects.
So our hope is to speak with as many people that we believe are experts on these subjects and pose the questions that most of us are asking.
So thanks for joining us along the journey as we seek to inspire and encourage dads and anglers as we wade through fishing, fatherhood, and faith on the fly.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Dads on the Fly podcast. My name is Caleb Simmons, and I'm joined by my brother Joshua. Joshua, how's it going, man?
Doing great, man. We are sitting here four school days from summertime. So you're fired up. Us school teacher people, and now that could be, I guess that could look different for maybe parents that are already out of school. It looks a little different. But for the school teacher person, it gets you pretty excited because you know there are going to be more days that you can take your kids fishing.
There you go.
So that's what I'm kind of looking forward to. So I'm kind of fired up about that. Sitting here, Memorial Day weekend, I want to give a big shout out to all those who are remembering someone today or this week in honor kind of memory of Memorial Day, those that fought and for our country. We appreciate that, as always. Want to make sure we got that in there on this episode. And otherwise, man, I have been doing just great, kind of just wrapping up the school year. Things been busy. We appreciate all the continued feedback on Dads on the Fly podcast. We've got an exciting episode for you today, but before we do that and talk a little bit about this episode, we want to make sure and fill some people in on some things that we got in the future, man. So one of those is?
Yeah, so one of them is we've got an awesome trip scheduled this October with our friend Tyler from down at Drumroll Charters down on the coast of North Carolina. We've got a great trip that we are almost full. We have one spot left. And so this is going to be a just another dad or someone who listens to the podcast. If you'd like to come hang out with us, we're going to go chase some We're going to chase some Albies
down. Chase some Albies
down on the coast of North Carolina in October. If you're interested in that trip, it's going to be a great time. We got a great place to stay, hanging out, campfires right on the intercoastal waterway each night. And I'm excited about this trip, Joshua. I'm looking forward.
You get to experience it with us because we've not done this
before. Yeah, I mean, this is going to be a lot of fun.
Chasing these Albies, they say, like, get you down to your backing pretty quick. So that's going to be a pretty fun time, which we've not gotten to do. So we're pretty pumped about that. And you have one spot left open. So, you know, dads, Father's Day coming up, you just send this episode to your wife and tell her, hey, you know, I want to go do this Albie trip with these guys that talk about fishing all the time, and it'll be a fun time. So that's what you ought to do. That's the one spot left. We're excited. We did get to meet a couple people that are already going on the trip, so we're pumped for whoever gets that last spot. It's going to be a good time. That is October. Did you say the dates on that?
October 13th through 15th.
Yeah, of 2023.
Don't rush ahead.
This year. And then 2024 is the Dads on the Fly Father Son Retreat, April. That same weekend, man, you have to pull up the dates again. I know. It's that same weekend in April, that last weekend in April of 2024, right here in beautiful Western North Carolina. If you want to hear all about that trip, you can go back and listen to a past episode of Dads on the Fly. That is where we discuss what went down on that trip, and we hope to do something very, very similar again. And if you want any more details, send us a DM. Shoot us an email, thedads@dadsonthefly.com, to find out all about all of those trips. And that you got the dates for me, don't you?
That date for the Dads on the Fly Father Son Retreat next year is going to be April 26th through 28th of 2024. Again, would love, if you're interested, come check it out. Already got some dads claiming spots. So
that's what we're going to say. We got spots already filling up.
Just let it fill up with podcast listeners first, and then we'll post it online. On our socials as well, and know it'll fill up pretty quick. So want to make sure to go ahead and get that spot booked if you want to come hang out with us next year with your son for an awesome weekend.
For an awesome fly fishing weekend. So before we dive in today's episode, man, I've got you know how we talk about this all the time. I had a little funny I thought you might appreciate.
Always love it.
Okay, so, you know, we do this podcast thing, and we're pretty much immersed now, our families, in fishing, like all of our families, from wives to kids. And we were at my son tried baseball this year. Trust me, just go with the story for a minute. And my wife, you know, when you think about my wife, Caleb. You've known her for quite some time. In terms of sports knowledge, where would you rate that, Caleb?
She's good at telling you which uniforms are the best.
Yeah, but for average sports knowledge, where would she rate? Like if you were
not very highly,
not very close to the top, right?
Yeah.
So
being kind.
So I thought you would appreciate this text message thread the other night. Okay. I am coaching, kind of coaching first, but really more kind of sitting in the dugout.
I understand, yeah.
And this poor pitcher for the other team this night, he couldn't find the plate.
Yeah.
And a couple players of our team took a baseball to the shin or to the foot. Yikes. Or, you know. And after about a third one, I get a text. So when you get hit with the ball, you get to go to first?
That's great.
So to which I kind of almost yelled out loud, wow, we've been married 16 years this June. But she redeemed herself super heavily this morning.
Okay.
Okay. So this morning, the kids they go to Sunday school with their grandparents. And Laura's making her coffee before we get ready to go to church. And I am rapidly pulling up River App, looking at water temps and for our fishing trip we're going to take tomorrow. And I'm spitting off some water temps. And she's like, oh, so you guys are maybe thinking about fishing for trout now because the water temp's below 65. So what I'm just saying is, over time, you know, she... As much as maybe she was like, well, I may not have known that a guy got to go to first, but I know the water tip for the species you're going after. So I felt like I had done marriage is a kick in there, man. Like everybody's involved.
She's paying attention.
So yeah, everybody's paying attention.
That's good, man.
But tonight, anything else going on with you before we get into this episode here?
Nah, man, just, you know, it is summertime and some oldest is about to be out of school. So hopefully we're going to get a lot of opportunities, just some day afternoon trips when I get off work or maybe scooting away a little early and hopefully maybe do some of our small little floats right here in town that we've done a lot last year. That was a lot of fun. And the weather will ever warm up around here, man. Good grief. It's been crazy here lately. But
I think low this morning was 49.
Yeah. In the end of May, that's just nuts to me. But, yeah, so excited about summer and excited about a lot. We got a lot of great just trips and stuff planned this summer. I'm going to do some stuff.
I booked a trip this week for us to do some fishing.
Yeah.
That you're excited about. Yeah, buddy.
Yeah.
That's going to be a future episode, folks.
Yeah, it's going to be a great episode. I gotta talk to my wife about that and make sure.
Well, but see, I booked it. Happening. Grandma is at the house.
Well, I know.
So that,
I
mean, that helps a lot.
Yeah, for sure.
And and also, I mean, that was my thought process. Grandma's at the house, and I planned it super early in the morning, so we're back like
before it gets too late.
Yeah, I had a whole thought process there.
I do appreciate that. So,
and between that and
leaving them for too long.
And you're going on vacation the next week. It'll be just fine.
Oh,
It'll be just
fine.
It'll
be good.
Between those trips
But while I'm on vacation, I'm also trying to do a little fishing while I'm down there.
Yeah, that's on you. But then you got your other grandma around, so you got
for sure.
Play the grandma card.
Yeah.
But other than all the fishing, which we're trying to get some in even tomorrow during this cold end of May stretch we're having, and tomorrow on this fishing trip that we're planning, we are, for the first time, going to get from the boat the product that these two gentlemen we're going to talk about tonight have developed. And so tonight's episode is with the two guys from Catch Cam Nets. And so be paying attention this week. Hopefully we'll have some Catch Cam Net action tomorrow.
Hopefully we'll have some fish in the Catch Cam Net. Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah. But if you've ever wondered what it's like to handcraft build a net, and why this company is special from Catch Cam Net, you're going to really appreciate tonight's episode with Steven and Bo. What was really cool to me, Caleb, is how we talk about mentors a lot, and we talk about mentors and fishing. But in this episode, we got to go in a little bit about how, you know, Steven has been a mentor to Bo, even in the business world.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit different from heavy fishing. There's plenty of fishing stories in here and in this episode, but it also talks a little bit more about some other things that kind of sometimes matter more than fishing. And I thought that was really cool that these guys were able to talk to us, and we appreciate them for number one, partnering with the show and being a part of this episode.
Yeah, this is a great episode. I love hearing the story behind Catch Cam Nets, and love hearing about two guys on you know, upbringings in the fishing world and hearing about how their dads were so impactful in that. We also dive in a little bit about their faith stories as well, which is really great to hear about. So without further ado.
We have one more thing I forgot. I had to look at my notes here. We have one more thing. I want to remind everybody, if you're in the Western North Carolina area, the first annual Maggie Valley Fly Fishing Festival is going on June 23rd and 24th, right there in the heart of Maggie Valley. And they have an awesome lineup. If you haven't checked our social media or their social media out on Instagram, check it out. They have an awesome lineup of stuff coming up for the Maggie Valley Fly Fishing Festival. And so that's a great opportunity for you to bring the whole family out. There's going to be like a kids fishing thing going on. They got the casting pond. It's going to be a really sweet kind of event. So wanted to make sure, and I forgot to talk about on last week's episode, wanted to make sure and include that in there. If you're in the West North Carolina area and you are going to be near Maggie Valley, come check it out either one of those days. The Maggie Valley Fly Fishing Festival, first annual, live music every day too. It's gonna be quite the fun time. Talking about fly fishing, there's going to be vendors, all kinds of different vendors, fly shops, and it should be a good time for everybody.
Yeah, man, that is going to be a really great event. So, yeah, if you're in West North Carolina, come check out the Maggie Valley Fly Fishing Festival this June. All right, well, we're going to dive in now to our conversation with Stephen and Bo from Ketchikem Nets. Dads on the Fly is also brought to you by Trout Routes. Joshua, when we are looking for new places to go catch trout, I can think of no better resource to use than the Trout Routes app. It has been an awesome thing to help us find more trout to catch.
Yeah, man, whether exploring new water or just being a new angler at all, Trout Routes now includes all of the lower 48 states on their amazing app that can be found anywhere you get your apps. So make sure and download Trout Routes today for all your fly fishing adventures.
Well, thanks everyone for checking out today's podcast. We are really excited to welcome to the show Mr. Bo Robinson and Mr. Steve Nicolai of Ketchikem Nets. Bo and Steve, thank you guys so much for joining us.
Yeah, great thanks to be here. Having us.
Well, we are thrilled to have you on the show. We can't wait to hear more about the Ketchikem story. And so Josh and I are thrilled. We just recently got our hands on one of these amazing nets, and we can't wait to get it wet. But the design, the look, and then the versatility of this net and what we're going to be able to use it for, we are really excited about it. And so thank you guys for creating such a great product. So, but what we want to do today is just get to know a little bit about your stories and then a little bit about the Ketchikem net story. So before we dive into Ketchikem nets, Bo, tell us a little bit about your introduction into fly fishing. When did you first get a fly rod in your hand?
Man, it's, first caught a fish on a fly rod when I was probably about 7 or 8 years old in an old farm pond, caught a bluegill, man. It's, I know a lot of our stories, but, didn't follow along with the fly rod for probably 10 years after, about probably 17, 18, when I picked up a fly rod and really started pursuing it. You know, around here, West Virginia, we use the old bait and tackle, power bait, millworms, and some corn. And we caught a lot of trout growing up doing that. But then fully got hooked in the fly fishing around 18 and started chasing my dreams in the fly fishing world in the early 20s. So,
and Steve, what about for you?
Yeah, I picked up fly fishing like a lot of other guys. My dad took it up, and when I was 10 years old, started taking me out on the river and ponds and trips. So we got a lot of opportunity to fish together, learn fly fishing, go on trips, and you know, even into college and after college, I got to join them on trips. So it's one of those things where I pursued it for a while, and I've been fly fishing now for 40 years. So been to all kinds of places. It's taken me a lot of places. I just love it.
Well, we were fortunate enough to meet both of you gentlemen at the Virginia Fly Fishing Show. Big shout out to Bo Beasley for putting on a great show up there at the Virginia Fly Fishing Wine Festival. And, you know, we just back and forth kind of through the days walking around, and eventually kind of just had a conversation, I think, with Steve the morning we did the devotion with our good buddy Eric from Altar. You were there that morning, you and Sadie, your trusty companion there that was the star of the show. And we got to talking, and through that, kind of one thing led to another, and we've just kind of connected with you guys. But we wanted to hear first, before we kind of get into more of your story of how you guys met, what is the history behind Catch Cam? Has it always been Catch Cam Nets? I know that we talked maybe briefly a little bit about that in Virginia. But, Bo, would you speak to just the history behind when you started developing and making these nets?
So it's kind of a joke. I tell people I created the Catch Cam because I'm highly allergic to fish. So I cannot keep fish to eat them. So I put a camera on my net just to prove I actually caught the fish. That's not really how it was started. In fact, it started out of necessity. Around 2013 and 14 is when I came up with the idea. We were duct taping a GoPro to our old wooden net. Yeah. Tried some different mounts on the market, and they would just fall off, or you know, didn't work right. But it kind of went. My brother-in-law just got out of film school, and he was trying to get some work, so he started kind of following me around with the camera while fly fishing. Just kind of built his portfolio up, and we started a little Instagram, YouTube page called West Virginia Natives. And it was a hit around here. People started liking the content we were putting out. And I came out with a really cool logo with a West Virginia on a hook. And I started an apparel line. And we started getting some cool traction with our YouTube and Instagram page. And we were kind of trying to be influencers before influencers were such a thing.
Yeah.
And then Ben got on some big projects and started pursuing his production company. He went more of the commercial route and kind of left me on my own. And at that time, I was really getting into the film tour world, loving what they were doing. And those were kind of my dreams, is to chase fly fish, you know, fly fishing all around the world and make films and stuff. So after Ben left, I didn't really have anyone to follow me around with the camera anymore. And that's when I went all in with the Catch Cam net. I was still able to get content having the camera on the net by myself on solo trips. And it kind of birthed out of necessity. It was one of those things. I wanted to keep going in the fly fishing world, and the net perspective was getting an awesome shot, and there was nothing like it. So I decided to file for a patent research. Nothing came back even remotely close, and I decided to go all in with it. I knew if I didn't pursue it, I could never live with myself looking back like, man, I had an idea, and I wish I would have tried it. So I went all in with it.
And so when did that, we have a date, like not a specific date, but a year of when kind of all that was
basically
official?
Basically in 2016 is kind of when that all went down. I filed for the patent research around that time, and I was making them out of wood in my wood shop at the time, and there really was no way to mass produce them or make them that way. So I sent out a couple emails to some local manufacturers around town, and I got an email back from a guy I actually went to high school with, who has a manufacturing shop for AR-15s locally called Wolfpack Armory. And he messaged back and said, hey, is this Bo Robinson who went to West Fairmont High School? And I was like, yeah. So we reconnected and basically started building the aluminum version of the Catch Cam net out of his garage. And we went through a pile of different models and designs and ideas, and finally felt comfortable with a design we came up with, and we ran a Kickstarter to try to get us started. And I brought a model to the net, or a model of the net to the market, and got a lot of feedback fast about it. People thought it was a great idea, and it wasn't long after that I met Steve. So
that
segues great. So Steve, when did you come into the picture?
Yeah, in about early 2018, a friend of mine, a fellow fly fisherman up here in the Catskills, called me and told me about the product, the net. It had the camera mount on it. I was intrigued. And he had had one of the, I'm not sure if it was a prototype or one of the early versions of it, and just kind of told me about it. So I did a little research on the internet to see if anything like this existed already. I thought it was a great idea, and I couldn't find anything out there. So I was even more intrigued. So I followed up and got Bo's number and just cold called him. You know, I just called him out of the blue, introduced myself, you know, and Bo was, of course, being from West Virginia, was pretty skeptical of some guy calling and asking about his new product. So
saw that New York,
especially
area
from New York, right?
Like, yeah. Right, especially the guy from New York. At that time, I was vacationing in Florida. So Bo and I had a couple conversations, and it coaxed him into just talking about it. I said, listen, come to Florida, fly down here. We'll go fishing together. Worst case scenario is you get a free fishing trip and, you know, you go on your way. And, you know, fortunately, he said, yeah, let me come down. We went fishing together, kind of hit it off, saw things eye to eye, and, you know, got going soon after that, after some more conversations. So I came in at that point.
Really cool. So I love the way the story of this whole organization has just kind of come together. And so, Steve, so what is kind of your role, I guess, there at CatchCam?
Yeah, so I had a previous life in finance and did a lot of research on different companies, ran a couple of them myself. And I thought that's something I could bring to the table along with, you know, 40 years of fly fishing experience and maybe the ability to cast decently occasionally. So, yeah, I thought, you know, that would lend something to the program there. So both thought the same. And we kind of put together, you know, the framework of a partnership where I could help lend my experience and some capital to the operation. And we just kind of evolved it from there.
Really cool.
So, well, Bo, I wanted to follow up with that. What did that mean to you to have someone who found, you know, with that kind of experience in the fly fishing industry to reach out? And I know, how has that morphed into just a really cool relationship over time?
Yeah, good question. Yeah, it was funny. The first couple calls, complete stranger. I didn't, you know, I was young, kind of naive. I didn't really know what to expect, who Steve was or what his intentions were. But like Steve said, I'm going to go to Florida and fish for some snook, whether anything comes about it or not. I'm going to get a fishing trip out of the deal. Yeah. But like you said, immediately we hit it off. We saw eye to eye on a lot of things, not just in fly fishing, but in life. And we related to and quickly became good friends immediately after. And we followed up very shortly after that trip with the kind of a proposal. And at that time, I was at kind of a crossroad. I was doing construction full time at my own company, flipping houses, and I knew I didn't want to do that for the rest of my life. I'm glad I know how to do that kind of work, but I knew where I was at with CatchCam. I couldn't do it alone, and I knew if I really wanted to give it a good go, it was going to take a lot more resources than I had. So I kind of just sat down and thought, you know, what's the best way to pursue this? And I knew having some capital at that time was going to be very necessary for the next steps, doing trade shows and making the product better. I mean, at that time, I was trying to innovate how to make not just a camera mount on a net, but how to make a really good, high-quality, you know, net. And I think that's where me and Steve started to really brainstorm early on, like, how can we make the best net possible and keep it American made, which was very important to both of us.
Yeah. Well, let's talk. You're kind of talking a little bit about the product. Let's talk. We haven't really described CatchCam nets and what sets them apart really well yet. So let's talk about that. These nets are incredible. First of all, they're just great fishing nets in general, but then there's something very specific that sets them apart. And that's at the, I guess kind of at the end of the handle of every CatchCam net is a mount for a camera, correct?
That's right. That's right. It works with just about every action camera on the market. We do promote the GoPros being one of the higher end name brands. But yeah, that's one of the main features is having the camera block right there. But it is not the only thing that the Ketchcam does. The fact that you can interchange the handles or just simply break it down for traveling purposes, it's really one of the only nets that fits into a suitcase if you do a lot of traveling. So that was a major feature that we wanted to incorporate now, in.
Has that, I want to interrupt you right there just because I was kind of...
He was excited about this when we
got ours. When I received mine the other day, when we got ours in the mail, I was like, it's in a square box. And it kind of threw me off there for a minute. And then I opened it. I was like, oh, the handle clicks in, which is super sweet. Was that always that way? Or have you kind of grown into that?
So the first models we shipped was not that way. the handles have always been removable, but through... different ways through a screw in the side or something else. But we did not ship them disassembled like that. In fact, our first shipping was astronomically expensive. And we were like, how are we going to ship these things? But as the product evolved and actually, Steve, you can help me out here. Was it 2019 that we did the big Harrisburg show?
Yeah. In 2019, we did the Harrisburg show, all 10 days of it.
Oh, wow. Holy cow.
Marathon. So we had a lot of time to talk and think and have a couple brews. Shows. So, and towards the end of it, we were looking at it and we had met somebody. I can't remember, Bo, who it was, who had showed a thumb release to us and or talked about it. And we thought that would be ideal. So from that point, you know, Bo got back into the shop there and just started, you know, banging away to get this thumb release fabricated and part of the net. And that was really sort of it was a great improvement and a big evolution for Ketchcam nets. I mean, we had the camera mount, which was great. And at this point, I think we had just gotten the patent approval in 2019.
Yes.
So it all kind of coincided that we got the patent approval, the thumb release on the handle, and then we knew we really sort of were putting together a real good product here and making strides forward in providing it.
That's really neat. So what else kind of sets these nets apart, would you say? What else makes Ketchcam nets such a special product?
Well, I think one thing being American made, that's something we are proud of. But the fact that they're just so durable, I mean, fully made out of aluminum, I mean, you're just not going to break these things. And trust me, we've tried. We've put them to the test. But I'd say that's one of the number one features is that you can beat these things up.
Yeah.
And then the customizability of them, we can do a graphic on the handle with a logo, a name, a quote, just about anything you want on the handle.
Yeah, I think that is really cool. I think a lot of people like that they can customize and make their own net. I think that's like part of your, I know that's what we talk about in like the ad that you guys have for our show is that, you know, it's your net, you build it, you make it what you want it to be. And I think that's a really interesting, just a really interesting feature that you can make it your own in such a really neat way.
Yeah, so, on our website, we have the build your own net feature. So you can go and customize your net piece by piece if you want, by size, color, handle, just about anything. So that, and we knew that while the camera mount was a great thing and we had the patent on it and a lot of people would use it, a lot of people wouldn't. You know, it's a big industry and demographics are dispersed. So what we really wanted to do at this phase especially is really build a high quality net. Mm-hmm. We knew the camera mount was not going to be attractive to everybody. And so we spent the next year to 2 years really making the net lighter, more durable, starting to source better in the United States here, and you know, really making strides up until, you know, we hit the COVID years, and then, you know, things changed a little for everybody in the industry. But we really evolved the net to be a real high quality, durable, competitive offering in the industry.
Yeah, I think that's the thing that I really appreciate about the product is, you know, you get Ketchcam and you see this camera mount on it and you're think I think some people might often think, oh, this is just kind of like a gimmick product, but the actual product itself is actually exceptional. I mean, it's a phenomenal net, so well made. I mean, when you grab it, you can just tell it's durable, and I mean, most importantly, it's going to help you get a lot more fish. So, that's exciting for sure.
Yeah.
So I think that's really neat. You said they're made right here in the U.S. Where are they made?
Made right here in West Virginia.
Okay.
Actually, in the room behind me here.
Okay, so you still make them there? Is that out of your home, I'm assuming, or is that like your office?
We've
okay,
got
yeah,
a,
at your office.
Full fab shop and okay. A fly shop out front. So we started really that cool. back 2 years ago as well.
Gotcha. So you're right there. You're still hammering away and making them every day.
Yeah.
Bo. Yep. That is incredible. Yep. I love that. So you're hands on. You're not just some guy sitting back and you know, making sure it gets done somewhere. You're actually in the shop getting it done. I love that. I think that's incredible.
Right. That's right. Always.
That's really cool. So with though this incredible feature on these nets, the camera feature on there, you gotta see some incredible shots from these things. Am I wrong?
No, for sure, man. It's we promote kind of five different angles, but the best angle, in my opinion, is that release shot. Once that net goes under the water and the fish swims away, it's just it's such a cool perspective.
So you said you promote five. What was it
you said? So five different angles.
Yeah.
So you get the land shot as the fish is coming into the net as you land it. The trophy shot as you can pick the fish up and hold the fish right in front of the net and the camera. The release shot. And then we do a tripod shot where you can put the net on your boat or up on the bank, and it's basically a tripod for you. And then the selfie shot, so you can actually turn the camera around and
use
it.
Oh, okay, that's great. That's really neat. I wasn't aware of that. That's super cool.
I hadn't thought about it. So let's talk about if you got a – let's say I got an older GoPro, like not one of the newer ones. What do I need in order to mount it?
So almost every GoPro comes with the correct buckle slide mount that actually will slide right onto the net.
Gotcha.
If it doesn't, you know, Walmart or on Amazon, you can find those buckle slide mounts. They make them with a 360 ball joint now, which is a really nice feature. You can spin around for different angles. Like I said, that selfie shot.
Yeah.
One of my favorite shots is the tripod shot, because as you lay the net down on the bank or your boat, you know, it serves as a tripod. Your camera's right there. So say you're just out fishing with your son and you don't have anybody else to take the picture.
Yeah.
You basically have a tripod there, so you both can get in the picture with the fish and then release it.
That's right.
That's really cool.
The GoPros are all voice activated now, so you just talk to the camera and GoPro record, and there you are, hands free.
That's really cool, and it's neat. I love that idea, by the way, because I'll definitely be stealing the net from Joshua when I go by myself now, and making sure that I get, because there is those times. I mean, I was fishing by myself this weekend, case in point, where you know, you get the fish, you get it netted, then you got to reach in, you got to get the phone out, you got to figure out what to do with the net. You got, you know, you're dropping stuff. You know, I mean, yeah, I threw a net down, had to chase it down a river. You know, it is a pretty great feature to have all that in one place.
Yep. We've all been there. It's very, it was a struggle I had to solve. So
I think it's great.
Oh, I think it was cool that we have all these different options. And you know, we were able to get ours with the cool logo on it.
Yeah, we talked.
And about that. and the cool color, and all the different colors that you have. So, but you know, it's not something that you have to have a camera for either. So it's like, oh well, I only have a camera, I've got to, you know, use this net, because it's just a great cool net. Foster even said when we got it, he was like, you know, this one's got the nice bag that won't have. He's like, even the little fish, you know, he loves catching wild fish. He's like, they won't slide out, but it's got all that room for the big fish too. So, yeah.
Right, that's right. Well, and we've tried to think of all that stuff. So we've tried to make a net for almost every fish species now, from small native brook trout clear up to your big muskie or saltwater fish. So
what else kind of sets you guys apart just as a company? You know, Catch Cam Nets, what are kind of the things that you guys really believe in and as far as what you're doing?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, we believe in fly fishing. First and foremost, I mean, we're both fly fishermen. It's both given us great experiences in life, but it's a great community, and we're just proud to have a product, you know, that caters to that community, the fly fishing community, and the community, the fishing community at large, conventional as well. So, I mean, we love going to the shows. And you know, even someday when maybe we don't have to go to the shows, I think we still will, because that's really what we enjoyed. And that's why COVID was kind of tough, because that did shut down that show circuit for us when we were really just sort of, you know, getting a launch pad going. So we're happy to be back at the shows and see, meeting you guys and your families, and everybody else at these shows is just great. So I think for me, And for the company as well, that's just a real joy to be a part of that.
Well, how many, just a follow-up to that, I mean, it seemed like every time I was emailing Steve, he was on the road. So how many shows did you guys do just this last year? Or I guess the show season's kind of over now, right? Don't they consider it sort of over about now, maybe?
Yeah.
The spring shows are definitely over. We've got ICAST coming up in July, and then a couple scheduled for the fall, but we did almost, I think, 13 or 14 shows this early year.
But you guys really get to know each other, right? I don't know. I don't know how to get out of time.
Steve didn't come to every one of them, but he was at a good handful.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, this has really been neat, guys. Learning a little bit more about Catch Cam, a little bit more about the story behind this amazing product. We're going to take a short break, and then when we come back, we're going to dive in a little bit more about you guys' story and your kind of individual story. So we'll take a short break, and we will be right back.
Dads on the Fly is brought to you by Maggie Valley Fly Shop. Maggie Valley Fly Shop is your go-to stop in Western North Carolina for all your fly fishing needs.
Whether you're looking to book a guided trip or you're wanting to go catch some gear that you may need before you hit the stream, hop into Maggie Valley Fly Shop, grab a cup of coffee, get all the gear you need, and go enjoy a great day on the water in Western North Carolina. You can also check them out online at MaggieValleyFlyShop.com.
We're back with Bo and Steve from Catch Cam Nets, and we really appreciate these guys for what they've done in the fly fishing industry and also just part of our community now, as they've joined with Dads on the Fly to see some cool things happen on our part of our world. But I want to start with Steve here, coming back in from this break. Steve, I would say you are the most experienced fisherman of this group we have discussing tonight.
You mean the oldest.
And, nice way to put it.
Yeah, and now you live in upstate New York. So have you always lived there, number one, and is that where most of your kind of fishing experience? You talked about fishing with your dad, so is that kind of where it all started?
Yeah, no, actually, I'm a recent transplant to New York in the last 10 years or so, but I grew up in New Jersey, and my father took me fly fishing for the first time, I think when I was 10 or 11. And he was just learning it as well, and I'm not sure who introduced him to it, but that's usually the way it goes. Somebody takes share, somebody tells you about it, or you see a fly fishing movie, a river runs through it, or something like that. But yeah, so my father and I got to learn fly fishing together and go on trips, both in locally and then, you know, out west in other areas. And became reasonably okay fly fisherman, I'd say. You know, took some casting lessons, I guess, read some books along the way. But yeah, I mean, my memories with my father are all great fishing wise. You know, maybe we didn't see eye to eye on the baseball field or the basketball court all the time. But when we were fishing, you know, it was kind of a judgment free zone. You were just enjoying the time and making the memories. So I carried that on, you know, after I graduated high school and college, and we would go on trips together, and I landed in Michigan for a job and would go fly fishing every weekend with some buddies to upstate Michigan, literally just about every weekend for about 7 years. So long story short, I made my way back to the East Coast, which is where my family is, and you know, worked downstate in New York and would go up to the Catskills fishing on weekends. So eventually I moved to where I was fishing, and that's where I am now.
Smart man. Well, I want to circle back on something you said there because I found this very interesting. You kind of mentioned it in passing. But I coach both of my sons in sports. Now, they're very young, 7 and 4. And so we haven't had a lot of clashes, I guess, maybe the best
well,
thing to
we
say.
Circle back to the – it's crazy how we do this because I knew that that's what you were circling back to as well because I coach my – two children in sports also, and yeah. One of them is sitting here listening, and he will probably like what I think you're about to go into here, which is what Steve just said.
Well, yeah, I just want to maybe get some perspective from all of us, maybe. Why do you think coaching, like on the basketball court or on the baseball field, or not even coaching, but just trying to support in that manner is so different than when you're on the river?
I may be guilty for it not being different. So I'm waiting for some advice.
yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, maybe on the sports field, the stakes feel higher. Mm. You know, there's a winner and a loser. At least there used to be a winner and a loser. Now it's participation. But anyway, back then it was winner and loser. And maybe on the stream, it's not that way. I think it's really about the experience, and everybody, father, son, whoever else is out there, just wants the other person to enjoy it and come away with it. A good experience to keep it going. So maybe that's it. I'm not sure, though.
I think those are wise words that I don't think are necessarily, when I first started, was necessarily the case. Unfortunately, coming from a coaching background, a heavy athletic background, fishing as a sport to me when I started was, okay, let's find fish and let's make sure we get fish in the net. And I do think that as...
And even, that was winning.
And it was. Yeah. It was winning. And I feel like maybe, my son's listening to this as a third party because he wanted to hear this episode, so he might get a test to yes or no to this. But I feel like maybe I've done better in the last year to just say, hey, it doesn't really matter if we catch fish. Even in our father-son weekend, I was worried, man. Like, man, we got to make them catch fish. But really, it should be different. And that's going to be my dad tip of the week to take from this episode of – those experiences should be different on the water, mm-hmm. not ultra, you know, we're not out there showing off. We're not out there trying to win trophies or anything while we're out there. So I appreciate you bringing that up. That's really given me a lot just to even think about to make sure when I'm on the water, I'm not going back into coach mode.
Yeah. I mean, I think it even gives us pause to think about when we are in coach mode and stuff like that. You know, when we're on the river with our kids, at least I know with my kids, I am very much I'm trying to help them be successful, but their success doesn't necessarily, it's probably more of a selfish thing. Their success on the river doesn't directly reflect on me, I feel like maybe their success on the athletic field, I feel like directs, you know, does that make sense what I'm trying to say?
Hopefully my kids will fish better than me too.
Yeah, for sure. So I feel like sometimes I think it's a reflection on me. Like, have I coached them well enough? Have I raised them up? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, have I done these things to teach them to sport and teach all these things where when I'm on the river, we're not really performing for anybody. And I feel like sometimes on the athletic field, we see it more performance.
Or more teaching life lessons on the river, like conservation, and cleaning up trash.
But I mean, I think we can use athletics for the same thing. If we put it in its proper place, sometimes we make a little bit too big of an idol out of athletics in some ways. But yeah, I think it's a very interesting perspective, Steve. And thanks for bringing that up.
It was good. Really I was not expecting
really
that.
Cool to think about.
Tidbit of the whole episode. You get the kudos for that one.
For sure.
So that's kind of where you did most of your fishing. You fell in love with the Catskills. I want to come back to that. But Bo, being from West Virginia, I've seen some pictures, some videos from West Virginia, man. Never fished there. But got a pretty wide range of species you can go after there, correct?
Absolutely, man. From warm water to cold water, we've got it all.
And you have a favorite kind of what you are in right now, or does it go through phases?
Yeah, for sure. Definitely started in the trout world. Chased the native brook trout blue lining for many years, and it'll always hold a special place. But musky is kind of stolen my heart right now. I've got one tatted on my arm.
Nice, yeah.
Kind of for a reason there. So yeah, I'd have to say smallmouth and muskie definitely have my attention.
So we have gotten bit by the smallmouth bug for sure. We're going crazy for those things, especially here lately.
It's been like 3 weeks since we've been on them, too.
It's been a while since we've gotten to chase some of those guys. But we have not made the muskie. We haven't caught a muskie yet, or excuse me, in muskie world, we haven't even seen one yet, so we haven't got one to chase. because that's the whole thing about my friends, and so I would love to talk to you, Bo, a little bit more about this. So I've got some friends that muskie fish, and they're like stoked when they have like four fish follow in a day, and I'm like, they don't even count the hookups, and I'm like, all right, well, so what's so special about this thing? So why have muskie kind of stolen your heart?
That's a good question. That's definitely part of musky fishing is not seeing too many fish. But maybe this is, goes back to remembering why we fish to begin with or even being out with your kids. Sometimes it's not about the fish. The fish is just the bonus. Yeah. And being in the places the fish takes us and the memories we get to make with the people we're in the boat with, the stories we tell, the lives we get to get to learn a little bit better by spending a full day on the water with. That to me, what it's all about. The 10-second rush we get to see a muskie is what brings us all back. But muskie to me, it's the biggest, baddest freshwater fish. And catching a fish that's 4 foot long or bigger, it's hard to beat that. And they just how they eat, it's so aggressive and getting one to eat on a figure eight right at the boat. I mean, it's fun, man. It's a rush.
Is that on a what size rod are you using for those muskie?
So we use 10, 11, or 12 weights. 11's that sweet spot. Not every manufacturer makes 11 weight. 10 weights will suffice, but sometimes we're throwing 18-inch flies. So 10 weight just won't turn those over. So a 12 weight, sometimes the right tool for the job.
I have to fathom that for a minute. 18 inches of a fly.
Bigger than most trout you guys catch, right?
that was kind of
what that's what I was just thinking. Like, holy cow.
You're throwing a fly that big and trying to get a chase is just, that's pretty epic. And you got a net that'll hold that fish when you catch it, right? That's the great part, yeah.
We just made our Predator series last year. I had a good friend that was dogging me for years. He was like, you got to make a true musky net. And Nate finally talked me into it. I'm happy we finally jumped into the Predator world.
I just remember being at the show. And I was like, we could carry most of our children around in this net.
That's a common thing at the shows. People love taking pictures with their kids in the net.
That's pretty wild.
So, go ahead.
No, so you mentioned, and I think that's something we go back to a lot. The reason you like musky fishing so much is because of the places you go and also the people you get to do it with. Most of the time you're musky fishing, you're definitely on a boat. There's people around, usually people that you're close with that you're comfortable spending, within a 8 foot radius of the entire time. So, why is that so special to you think? Like, what are the relationships that you've been able to kind of, I guess, muster through fly fishing?
Yeah, man, it's, muskie fishing is definitely a team sport just by, having that next person beside you to land the fish.
Yeah.
But all day long, man, we talk about life. We talk about, struggles or anything we're going through. We encourage each other. We definitely, the boys I've musky fish with, it's a family.
Yeah.
And we're actually shooting a musky film, hopefully to submit next year in the fishing film tour. And it'll talk a little bit about that. Why fly fishing for musky it's so cool.
I think that's really neat, and you just hit on it, man. I mean, it is. It's a lot about the people. The fish is just the bonus, and that's really cool. I'm excited for that film. That'll be neat to check out. So how many of these guys have you landed? How many muskie have you landed? You've been doing it long enough to have your picture with a bunch of them?
So I've only successfully landed about 24.
Only 24.
Well, I've only been doing it about 3 years. It took about 2 years to finally break the ice.
Pretty impressive, man.
Yeah, I've got a good group of guys that teach me a lot.
That's pretty great.
That's what
we're actually shooting the musky film about this one fly my one buddy has been chasing muskie far longer than I have, but he's caught about 30 some muskie on this one fly.
Wow.
And it's a cool story for sure.
That'll be awesome. And I think it's just awesome that we see this all the time. Even this conversation is a true testament of the fly fishing community and how relationships get started, and then they lead to something more. And through the muskie community, that seems to be a tight-knit one, and the fly fishing community is tight-knit as well. Just to transition, Steve, you know, in the Catskills, obviously a place Caleb and I have never fished, and we don't always get people from all over to tell us a little bit, but I assume that you have a quite a fondness of it now that you live there, correct? It's just I mean, there's been a lot written about the Catskills and a lot of flies, correct? But what's special about it for you?
Yeah, well, I mean, this was my escape when I worked in the city. So I would escape the city every weekend and head up here. And ironically, since I moved up here, I actually fish a little less now than I did back then because I have a farm up here as well that takes up some time. But no, it's a great fishery. The East and West Branch of the Delaware, the main stem, and all the mm-hmm. tributaries are fantastic. You know, brings a lot of people up here. Plenty of river for everybody. I got a drift boat, float the Delaware. Bo and I have gone on that, and it's great. It's just a great way to fish up here so locally, and they take really good care of the waters here too. Yeah, it is special, but I've always looked at fly fishing as a pursuit of other places. So it's one of those things, if you want to call it a sport, I guess, a hobby, whatever, it takes you all over the place. So it's taken me to New Zealand, Australia, I mean, most of the 50 states. And I don't think without fly fishing, I would have experienced much of that, to be honest. So it's taken me a lot of places and just landed me in the Catskills.
That's cool. You mentioned one of my places that's on my bucket list. I'm dying to go to New Zealand. Like, it's just, oh man.
Mm-hmm. You and me,
highly recommend. Highly recommend.
Yeah, it's going to happen before I die, hopefully.
Hopefully one day. I wanted to circle back into kind of really how mine and Steven's relationship kind of got a little kind of more in depth. And that was, kind of talking a little bit after that early Sunday morning, we were the only people at the fly fishing show with Eric and Bo and some of the other guys that came to Devotion that morning. And, you know, that really is kind of what drew us to kind of continue this conversation. And, if you had a second, Steve, if you didn't mind, just speak to why, obviously just being at that Devotion and as a man of faith, what that meant and kind of what that means to you and making Ketchcam even go.
Yeah, no, that was great to see you there that morning. And I didn't know they were having a service there that morning. I was just there early, and as soon as I heard, I headed over there, of course. And I think that's just a little divine intervention in itself, in a way that I was there and saw you, and now here we are on a podcast. So we all know things like that happen all too often, whether we notice it or not at the time. But yeah, I mean, just real special and just blessed to be a part of the shows and the community and, the people that were there at the Devotion that morning or weren't, because it's a great venue for people to be introduced to, the Lord, the Bible. That was a great morning.
So would you say that your faith has helped you in the way that you kind of direct and run this company? This is a question for either one of you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, go ahead, Bo.
Yeah, absolutely. Steve and I both believe all things happen for a reason. Definitely God opens the doors and shows us the answers for the next decisions we need to make. I mean, we're both faith driven and everything up to this point, just from the fact of two complete strangers meeting each other and kind of starting a company together is divine intervention for sure.
I think what's through this out, this whole conversation, what's been the coolest thing for me, and I want you to kind of maybe speak this, Bo, is me and Caleb talk all the time about having someone that you can maybe bounce ideas off of that you also look up to. And I kind of see that through you towards Steve. Yeah. And can you speak to the specialist that I know? And, you know, we run a podcast for fun, you know, it's something we do. It started for fun, but we've never really had anybody we've kind of done this thing kind of back and forth, but in starting a business, having a successful business person to kind of in a way lead, what's that meant to you?
Man, it's been awesome. Steve has not only just been a friend, but a true mentor. He's really showed me a lot in the business realm and world. And I think I actually told you this the other day, Steve, as you were in town. Early on in my business endeavors, I learned having somebody to teach you, a mentor, is really important. Having somebody beside you going through the same thing is very important. And then having somebody you teach, somebody that you're going to mentor next to, is really important. And Steve has definitely been that for me. He's been the guy kind of showing me the ropes and what I need to do and not to do along the way.
I think that's really cool insight, man. Like you said, having those types of people that are showing you, but also that thinking about like, who are you kind of passing stuff along to as well. I think that's really great to think about. Sounds like you both had great relationships, like with your own dads, especially through fly fishing, that kind of helped you kind of get this whole thing started. And we seem to find that be the case in so many of the people that we talk to through our show. So
yeah, my dad is definitely my best friend and who I enjoy fly fishing with so much. He's not 100% into the fly world. He still picks up the old spinning rod.
I will forgive him. Not just
But honestly, one of my favorite fly fishing memories with my dad just happened not too long ago. Like I said, I chased muskie for about 2 years until I actually caught one. And me and my dad would take the old John boat down to a creek below his house. And, man, I would throw fly after fly after fly. And he was just running the trolling motor, kind of letting me wear my arm out. And then I started fishing with some guys and really started catching fish and everything. And my dad always thought it was so cool. I'd send him a picture after every trip. And just last year, I think it was back in November, I went with my dad back on the old John boat to the old creek where we started. And I was able to boat a fish, and he had the camera on the net, netting the fish, and we both got all excited and emotional, and it was probably one of the greatest fly fishing moments of my life. So it was pretty cool.
That is a cool story, man, and I think that's just the way it all come full circle, right? Like, I mean, absolutely. You know, your dad gets you started in loving the outdoors and fishing, and then you go learn stuff from other people, and then your dad gets to be with you as you experience that together. That's got to be pretty neat.
Absolutely.
That's awesome. Yep. Well, guys, we're going to begin to wrap this up. But before we do, is there anything else coming up for Catch Cam Nets that you guys are excited about?
A lot of good things in the works, man. We've got a lot of momentum right now. Catch Cam being just a small piece of the puzzle right now. We've got the fly shop, Native's Fly Shop and Outfitter. That's got a lot of our time and attention as we continue to grow the fly shop. But we have a lot of plans for Catch Cam, mainly just trying to make the net better, innovate it to be a better product. But we plan on growing the fabrication shop soon. And our goals is just to be in almost every fly shop out there. So that's our next step, is to really start pushing this thing.
I think that's great. And we want to make sure we highlight the fly shop there, Native's Fly Shop. And you told me where it's at again, but tell me the name of the town in West Virginia.
It's Native's Fly Fishing in Fairmont, West Virginia.
Native's Fly Fishing in Fairmont, West Virginia. So for anybody listening, any of our West Virginia listeners, make sure to go check out these guys. And tell us where we can also check out Catch Cam Nets. Where can we find you online?
We've got the socials, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and catchcamnets.com.
Yeah, I'd encourage anybody, if you're in the market for a new net, to definitely go check Catch Cam Nets out. We'll make sure to add all those links in our show notes, so make sure to go check them out.
Well, man, we can't thank you guys enough for being a part of Dads on the Fly, and we were so excited to get kind of your message and your story. And one thing we said when we started this was we love supporting small businesses. I guess you would still, you're all over the place, but I guess we'd still consider yourself a small business. You're every fly show out there, but and just people that we really wanted to get to know before we, you know, really wanted to talk about their products. And that means a lot to Caleb and I that we know the people behind the product and we can sit here and say, hey guys, not only are you getting a great net, you're getting something back by people who care about what they're doing. And they're good folks and they know what they're doing. They do it with a passion. And that means so much to us. And so as Caleb, I just echo what Caleb said, I would encourage people, if you're in the market for a net, it's a great net. We're ready to get ours in the water, but I can already tell you appeal is going to be, and you're going to, folks that follow us on Instagram, be looking for some, now I'm going to do those cool pictures too, man. I'm kind of excited about that. I thought about doing those selfie pictures.
We got lot better pictures.
It's a whole new thing for me to adventure with here. So I'm excited about that for sure.
Well, guys, thank you so much for hanging out with us for a little while. Bo, Steve, this has been great. Really appreciate your time.
Yeah. A pleasure, guys. Really appreciate being here.
Awesome, guys. Love what you're doing. Thank you for having us very much. Hopefully we can have another follow-up podcast here in the future after my wife and I decide to have kids this year. So maybe I'll understand a little bit more what it's like to take the kids on the river soon.
Oh, Bo, that's something we're probably going to have to make happen, my friend. We'll give you a call that like week two, you know, when you've had no sleep. And, you know, everybody's just angry at it. No, it's wonderful. It's great.
I mean, I'm all for that episode, but I'm also thinking, like, West Virginia's not too far away, and he keeps talking about these muskie. So, yeah, you know, that could be an episode in itself down the road. Maybe we have not done a muskie episode, nor have we ever even attempted to try.
Yeah.
So, I was going to say, the next step for us all is to go fish.
There's my man. That's what I'm talking about. Get on the water.
We'll make it
happen. West Virginia's pretty central to all of us.
There you go. Yeah, that's a good point.
That's a really good point. Yeah.
That sounds like he's ready to host. He doesn't have it.
Yeah. That was an offer.
We'll take it as that for sure. Well, guys, again, thanks for your time tonight. And thanks, everyone, for taking some time to hang out and hear a little bit more about the CatchCam Net story. And thanks for checking out this episode. Until next time. Tight lines.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Dads on the Fly podcast. We hope this episode has inspired you as a parent or an angler.
If you've enjoyed this episode, please check us out at dadsonthefly.com. There you can subscribe to our email list and find out all the things we got going on here at Dads on the Fly.